Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I welcome everyone to tonight's gathering. We give God praise. Father, we thank you for your help and your grace. Blessed be your holy name. The rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name alone is to be praised, to be adored, to be extolled, and to be exalted. Commit this gathering into your hands. We ask that you glorify yourself. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Welcome everyone to tonight's meeting, like I began to say already. So those of us, some of us who have been in meetings like this already, knows that the part where the priesthood of the house of God is being executed is one of the pivotal things in these meetings. And what we mean by the priesthood of the house of God, talk about the priesthood of worship, incense, offerings of sacrifice. The priesthood of incense, worship, sacrifice. These parts of the meetings are very important and very significant, pivotal, I will use that word again, to the overall structure and progress and movement of the meetings, because the meetings are structured divinely. We know that when we have meetings, and I'm talking about those of us that have been in meetings where we hold that are not online, most of them notice that singing becomes, or this worship, or this priesthood, let me refer to it as this priesthood, so that when I say this priesthood, you know what I'm talking about. I don't want to just say music, singing, or making melody, so that you don't just get only that aspect or that view. So, but when I say this priesthood, we try to make it very broad, larger, so that it covers even more areas than you think. Because I believe that even if at all the list of us here, if there's anyone I can use that word to refer or to describe, knows one or two things about priesthood. If you have read through the Old Testament and all through the law, you know what priesthood is. And you know that the priesthood pertains to the service of the things of God, the tabernacle, the presence of God, the ark of glory, and the worship of God. But the scripture teaches us clearly that those things were a type of the things that were to come. And you can see in the visions of John in Revelation that actually the things that Aaron and his sons were doing in the tabernacle were more gloriously represented and executed. So you can see that there is a golden altar and there is an angel offering incense, and there are priests before the throne of God that offer incense on a bowl. And you must understand it, and I believe that a good number of us here have already, that it is the office of the priest to burn incense to the Lord, to offer up incense. It is the office of the priest. Anybody who takes up that ministry and is successful in it, though it may not be spelt on his forehead, but has been brought to share in that office also. You will notice that the same thing Uzziah did was what David was doing continually. But you see, for Uzziah, it brought a curse upon him. Because though Uzziah was a king, he was not given the privilege to share in that kind of dimension, in that kind of honor. And you will realize that the priest in the temple told him clearly, categorically, that you have trespassed. I mean, yeah. This is the king of the nation, but you have trespassed. And judgment came upon him. What am I trying to say? I'm using this priesthood because you have to know it's a ministry. And it's not a ministry in the sense of what we see, like this person has a ministry and the name is that and there's a pew. No, I'm talking about the service. You know, when they say somebody is a minister, it means somebody is a servant. When they use the word ministry, it talks about his service. And service is what you do, what you carry out by virtue of a calling you have, or a designation you have been assigned to, or that have been committed to you. So those things were types and shadows. So when we have these kinds of meetings, we don't just do meetings like that.
Yes, sir.
When we hold meetings, try to see how to build a structure that can hold what the meeting actually is. Because if you say a meeting is timely, it's because God also wants to have a meeting with men. But everything must be in place to be able to accommodate the fullness of the revelation of God. And if the priests are offering incense in heaven, and you now feel it's time to preach, guy, you are not in alignment, because nobody sits until God now sits and begins to speak. But yes, until she comes fully, that's why the scripture says, "Oh Lord, praise awaits you in Zion." You know, the meeting will continue until when the person with the highest honor comes, then they will proceed. Like, you know, in a court session, the session does not proceed until the court until the judge, who himself is the representation of the law, is there. And when he has entered the place, they say, "Everybody stand up, sit." Proceeding can start. You can't be having proceeding and the judgment seat is empty. It's not how it's done. So in the same way, we can't preach when they are still doing incense in heaven. My God. I'm saying this because we are still going to sing again. You know, but until just understanding,
yes,
you will not know. You'll be like, "Oh, let me just log out so that they are still singing." That is the meeting. We've had meetings before that we sang from the beginning of the meeting till the end. Peter, you know that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we did this priesthood first, then we wanted to speak. We sat down. We try to speak, because the way God builds us up, if there is no revelation or there is no, we can't just be speaking outside of the context of God. Yes, so sir. We speak in such a way out of the impartation of the Holy Spirit continuously or persistently. You understand? So we tried with God that we said, "Kai, everybody, let's stand up. We have not finished. There is still incense in this place." And you know what happened? The meeting became a singing meeting. And what happened in that meeting would never happen, no matter if we had continued preaching him for this. You know I'm talking about? Speaking about one of those meetings we had in 2018. I think that was June 22nd.
Yes, sir.
You know those meetings. June 22nd, 2018. And it sank till the end of the meeting, and we said, so people were like, "Okay, now that we do it, so we now say we dismiss from here." But every message, every word, every prophecy was inside the music.
Yes,
and
sir.
Those songs were not just they were coming life by direct introduction into the spirit. And you know how many songs came out of that meeting. The point is, this is the priesthood, and you must know this priesthood.
Yes,
you must know this priesthood. Just lift your hands, give a praise. We'll do the priesthood continually, and because if we don't do the priesthood, we'll not be able to. It's for our own good. Don't worry, just give God praise. There are quite a number of people here, and many will be joining us. And many will be joining us, even through some of them, that some of those people that are here, because they will spread the word about what God is doing here. In our last meeting, I shared with us a prophecy, a prophetic word that came in the year 2020, during that time where the coronavirus was just as, and while in that, we received a word, a prophetic word that says there is a secret work going on in this dark period. And we shared what that was. He said, in these dark places, in this dark period, the Holy Spirit is, then we shared what he was according to the word. I don't want to go into details. And it was so that God was doing his purpose in dark places. And though this place might seem like a dark place, because and when we talk dark place, I don't want you to attach any negativity to it. The Bible says God makes darkness his dwelling place. Have you seen that in the book of Psalms? It's not that kind of darkness that is attached to the devil. No, that's not it. Because God himself said in the book of Isaiah, I say, I create the light, I form the darkness. So it's not that kind of darkness attached to the nature of the devil. But when you talk about darkness, the book of Proverbs says to understand the wisdom of the wise and their dark sayings. Proverbs chapter 1. Dark sayings doesn't mean that the wise tend to communicate in a manner that is ungodly or contrary to light. But instead it means that the wise tend to speak in a way that requires illumination to understand. Do you get that? The wise, those who have wisdom, speak in a way that requires illumination to understand. That is why, you remember when there was the writing on the wall in the book of Daniel, they had to look for a man who not only had wisdom but had light inside of him.
Yes.
There's a man in your kingdom whom is wisdom as the wisdom of God, and he must find light, understanding. They gave light his own department, because when things are veiled, it takes illumination to make them known. So in this kind of dark axis, there's such a light, something going on, that if somebody is not paying so much attention, he may not notice that something phenomenal is going on just around these quarters. And it is the wisdom of God to hide these kinds of things from the wise. In short, Jesus had to glorify God for making things hidden. You know, we glorify God when things are revealed. But there's another kind of glorification that Jesus gave when he discovered that, Father, I thank you because you have hidden these things from the wise. So, in these kinds of dark quarters, something phenomenal is going on, and is happening, and you may not be aware. And it is the wisdom and the design of God for it to be like that. Because God had all the power and the right to give birth to his son in the palace of the greatest kings in his days. But he pleased him to give birth to his son in the most insignificant of all places, in a place where animals are attended. And there were no publicity. But except for some folks that the Bible said they were wise.
Yes.
The people within Bethlehem, the very quarters, did not realize what had just happened. But people traveled all the way from the eastern part of the world to come and celebrate him. In short, there's a song by Casting Crowns that they dedicated to that storyline. think Little Town of Bethlehem. The lyrics is very, 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 very interesting. It's a little town of Bethlehem. Above your sleep and dreamless, your dreamless sleep, is a giant star in the sky. The king of the earth has just been born while you were sleeping. Right? So something phenomenal is going on. And like we're saying, in those dark days, 2020, we're saying that the Holy Spirit is doing a work. And I'm not mentioning it here because I mentioned it in, I think, the last meeting in one of those days. I mentioned it. Now, that brings us to something. Just pay attention. So for those of us that are on this platform functions more like a nexus, like a synergy. That's why it's called a network. A network itself is just a series of interconnections where there is transmission. If you want to understand that better, if you take network in digital sense, in terms of interconnected entities that share information or data. Like, we could have a network in a place and we could have like 15, 12, 36 computers linked together by certain kinds of mechanism by which they make information available to each other, or by which they're able to access information from a source via specific protocols. And I believe we are all hooked up to that kind of arrangement, because the biggest network in the world is called the internet. By the way, is what you are using right now to connect with me. And that's why you can hear me, because I'm speaking to you over the network. Some of you are several kilometers away. Some of you can't even pinpoint my location in space. But nevertheless, I'm broadcasting to you via networks. And you can get it wherever you are and relate. And you are getting not just information, revelation, direction, instruction, impartation, and so on and so forth. So this platform functions in that kind of sense, and that's why it's a network. And we have, and they are on this platform, so many kinds of people here who are leaders in various categories and heads of some kinds of things. But you are here today connected to a wisdom of God, and that is part of what I want to point out. You are connected to a wisdom of God. This is not the conception of man. This is not man's idea. Why this guy on a platform where people can? That was not it. It was not even in the original plan until 28th of August, and that was some years back. I just came directly. In short, when the first vision of the network came, I told us it started in July, right, and spilled through into August. It didn't come that it will come in this form. It was much later when we answered okay, and then much later. The point is, you are called and you are now standing in a place where the wisdom of God is made manifest. This kind of arrangement that we presently have now is in line with what that prophecy also is saying, that in this, the Lord, the Holy Spirit is doing a work in dark places. This, where you are standing now, is a dark place.
Yes, sir.
Mind you, dark does not associate with evil. I'm talking about the kind of darkness he said the Lord made darkness his hiding place. Darkness surrounds him. Should I pull it up in the book of Psalms so you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
When there was, if you turn to the book of Hebrews and also the book of Exodus, when the glory of God visited the place, I want you to see something. Glory to God. Let's go to, is it Exodus? Yeah, after they came out of Egypt, then let's see the visitations of God. And then God came. He said, now my Sinai was completely in smoke because the glory of the Lord descended, because Lord is the holy place, and his smoke ascended like, and the whole mountain quaked. All right, now let's go to Hebrews, where the author of Hebrews began to highlight a couple of things. For you have not come to the mountain. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
That may be touched. He was referring to that mountain in those days. Hebrews 18. He said, you have not come to the... Hebrews 12, 18. Let me make the references clear. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, that burned with fire, and for blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of voice of wars. Now, he was referring to that time in the wilderness. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you see that. Let me now show us what the psalmist says. Can we open to... Somebody is suggesting that we share our screen. Psalm 18:11 says that he made darkness his secret place. His what?
His secret place.
His pavilion rammed about him were dark waters and thick cloud of the skies. Now, that is not to... You can write it down and look up for it much later. Psalm 18:11. Now, that is not that kind of darkness that is you say, okay, is associated. No, that's the kind that talks about, that's why I say he made it his hiding place. We are saying that you are joined to a mystery of God, and as that word came in 2000 and that word came several years back, or years ago, or some years back, whichever is appropriate or accurate, that in these dark days the Holy Spirit is doing a work. I'm now saying to you that in line with that word also, you are now in also in a dark place where some kind of works are going on, where some kinds of mysteries are going on. And we know that when God does, is ready to do some very phenomenal things, it doesn't just begin to broadcast it at the initial level. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
I've told you about the birth of Jesus and how that, in short, only a handful of people knew who he really was. Elizabeth, and then the parents of the child, and then maybe the Zachariah, the father, the husband of Elizabeth, though scripture does not say that he shared with them, but he prophesied. So we can say if he understood his own prophecy, then he had a measure of insight.
Yes,
and then Simon the elder prophet, who prophesied on the boy in the temple. You can see it, and I'm saying it in line with that word, you are somewhere in a dark place where something phenomenal is going on. This is profitable to you if you can align and receive correctly the data that is broadcasted and being transmitted across this network, the way it is in the digital setting or in our commonplace knowledge when we talk about a network. Glory to God. So, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So I'm saying this so that you will not be here casually or fail to take advantage of the access that you have. And the things that are being said are heavyweight things that are colossal in any part of the world and any respect. I said yesterday on the platform that in information theory and in information science, it is stated clearly that a message is independent of the medium it is transmitted. That is, the authenticity, the strength, or the magnitude, weight of a message does not diminish by virtue of its medium. It carries equally the same sense of transmission that was intended from the source, as long as it is not altered somewhere on the way. If I tell you that there's 100 million in your account, if I write you a letter, I send you a text, I send you a video message, I send you a voice record, I send somebody, as long as the content is not altered, it remains valid or the same message.
Yes, sir.
Do you understand?
Yes.
So that nobody says, oh, it's an online meeting. So, no, it doesn't diminish.
Yeah.
Do you know, God decided to left us his word in writing. He didn't leave us a video file or a documentary. So if you say, okay, the word of God is put to writing, if writing would have diminished it, he would have committed it by another. Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen this. Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains here the youngest, and here he is keeping the sheep. There remains here to the what?
100.
The youngest. There remains here the what?
The youngest.
The what?
The youngest.
Okay, I know if you have followed some of the prophecies that have been saying, you hear they say a generation of young people shall do this and young people shall do that. Have you heard all those have you heard those prophecies, right?
Yes, sir.
And they prophecy on young men. Even the Bible says your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, right? So there's an emphasis on young men, and even in these days you see young. And so that's why you see that a lot of people have hinged on upon that prophetic word and discarded any recognition of their age or anything. They have decided to just step out and do what they feel, they sense the leading of God asking them to do, right?
Yes, sir.
But it's just that there are some people that they are so knitted or welded to their view of themselves that they will not obey God. And this is an assembly for elders. This is an assembly for elders. So they didn't even invite David. That's why I say the youngest. But God bypassed all their age and their experience to do what pleased him in his heart and what he has determined to do. So I'm only pointing that out so that you can be making some connections already in your heart and in your mind and in your spirit, that God named the youngest. God found him. So he said, there remained the youngest. Mind you, those prophetic words that have been going through, that the generation of young people have come from very, very accurate and reliable and faithful servants of God. That young people will do this, revival coming, young people will pioneer revivals. And it's already happening. You can see all over the place where people in their 20s and early 30s and all that are doing kind of things with wonderful feet, unbelievable. It is in line with that word of God, but the thing is, all of that prophecy is not yet to be fulfilled, because you know, when Jesus was born, people had saw that one part of the prophecy had fulfilled and they thought that that was all that there was to it. When he began now, and you know, it's just this arrival syndrome that we must be aware of. And that is, when one portion of prophecy is fulfilled, we celebrate it so much that our eyes become close to the remaining part of the prophecy. And that becomes a limitation. You understand? When one part of a prophecy is fulfilled, we celebrate it so much that our eyes become close to the remaining portions of it. And that's what happened to the disciples also, because when John saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." They went after him. But the same people now, when Jesus was saying that he was going to go and die, some of them even had to confront him. In short, a servant was rebuking his Lord, like Peter took it upon himself to correct God. And their eyes became so close to the prophecy that the Bible says that even when Jesus said he was going to die, they interpreted it as another way. You know, there's when God will speak literally, but you have too much wisdom to take it literally. You say, okay, I know when God talks about this, he means this. No, sir, Oga, this is what he meant that he means. He said, this is what will happen. So, we must, and the glory of it was at the end of the fulfillment of the full prophecy. So the birth was glorious, but even more glorious was the death. But the death didn't end there. Yes, there was still the prophecy of the resurrection. David says, "But thou will not leave my soul in hell." You know the word?
Shall leave my soul in hell.
Or suffer thine holy one to see corruption.
Yes.
That was one amongst many and thousands, perhaps, that prophesied that the Messiah shall be raised up from the dead. But you see, they didn't see that one also. But they were also quoting David, and they understood the prophecy of David. They were even singing the prophecy of David when the Messiah was entering into Jerusalem on the donkey, saying that Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of you. You know that place is in Psalms. You know that, right? That's in the book of Psalms. It's one of the prophecies of the Psalms containing. So let me tell you. So you must be aware of that limitation that comes when you celebrate the beginnings of the fulfillment of prophecy. So much you become so obsessed with that first part that you now fail to see that actually there are still more parts of the prophecy yet to fulfill. And as a matter of fact, the biggest parts have not yet come. Let me now say to us that the biggest parts have not yet come. They are just coming and they are unfolding. You have seen things, you have seen movement, but you will still see greater things.
Amen.
So I'm telling you now so that you not fall, you not enter into that, okay, where you are overly carried away with the beginnings of when prophecy is being fulfilled. It's just the beginning. The fullness of the glory of God will be seen when the prophecy has even fulfilled past the initial stage. The initial stage only sets the stage for the mighty things that God will be ready to do and already stated he will do. So he said, "There remaineth the youngest." Remember they said the generation of young people? And there he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought in him. Now he was ruddy, bright eyes, and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Samuel said what? "Arise and anoint him for what? For this is the one." Can we hear me clearly, please? Let me have your feedback.
Yes, sir.
Now let's leave it there. Now this generational anointing we are talking about is linked to the anointing that David carried. Can you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It's linked to the anointing that David carried. That's why I'm telling you that when we tell you things that this generation will run with the mysteries of David, it's not just that we are trying to be sharing revelation. No, that's not the point. That's not it. Far from it. Far from it. We are only telling you secrets and mysteries that you should be aligning yourself with and trading these things in secret, so that eventually you just become and you just be amazed at what will happen. This, you'll be so amazed. Are you with me? So that's why we share you these mysteries. So I think I've taken a good time of this meeting to actually talk to us about that. Now, when these words are coming, you should take them seriously and cherish them in your heart and seek for ways to just align yourself totally. Please, do we understand what I just said?
Yes, sir.
So please, let's take note of that. Don't take for granted these things. You are these revelations, these mysteries are coming. Don't you say, we have one more mystery. Oh my God, my book of mystery is becoming full. I need to buy 900 leaves to write more. But no, that's not the point. This generational anointing is linked, is connected to that anointing that came upon David.
Yes, sir.
Does that now and does, okay, I want to say two things at the same time. I only have one mouth.
Glory to God.
Now, does that now bring to your mind why we have the prophecy already, or the word that says that this generation will run with the mysteries of David? That one is not, it's sure, that is it. And now we are bringing another word to you that is saying that now we have such a thing as the breaking forth of a generational anointing. An anointing that pertains to a group of people, an anointing that concerns a particular group of people, a whole people, not just one person, but a whole people, a group of people, the breaking forth of their anointing, the generational anointing. And we are now saying to you that this anointing is connected to that anointing that David received that day when Saul anointed him. When Samuel anointed him, I beg your pardon. The anointing is connected to that anointing that is on David when Samuel anointed him. That is the generational anointing. And that anointing itself is ancient and is this mysterious. Is what?
Mysterious.
We have several kinds of anointing. Jesus sent his disciples, he said, heal the sick and anoint them. He says, any sick, let him call for the elders of the church, let them anoint him with oil. There are different kinds of anointing, but there is this kind of anointing,
it is mysterious,
that is strange and mysterious. That is the anointing that God said to Samuel, go and pour it on this man's head.
Right.
And that anointing, it's not just bringing somebody to celebrate. That anointing is bringing a man to occupy the office. Let me not say that. It will be, let's leave that part. Oh God. Because that day when that oil was poured upon that man's head, he was joined to something. Now let me tell you about the mystery of the workings of this kind of the anointing. I know we know what the anointing is, or maybe because when we say generational anointing, the emphasis now would be more of the anointing, to understand the anointing, because there is the personality of the anointing, as we have heard and have been taught by men who have walked in the realms of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Men of God like Pastor Benny Hinn, Catherine Coleman, they have told us the anointing that told us about the realms of the anointing, moving in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and see the anointing of the Holy Spirit bring healings, signs, deliverances, and casting demons out, and other kinds of things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you know that that's a manifestation of the anointing. And when people hear about the anointing, they may have the sense of seeing one kind of electric power flowing through them and then flowing into the crowd and falling people down. And it really does that very powerfully. And setting blind eyes open, and like an electric torch just flowing, the whole place is supercharged with one kind of power. That's the anointing. But that's not all of the anointing. Because that day when they came to anoint David, they were not anointing him to go and start healing the blind eyes or to be laying hands on people so that they will fall down. They anointed him for something that will eventually manifest in his days. That oil that was poured on David is what this generation will come to be a part of. I don't know. I find the kind of fences here and there not to speak in some kinds of clear ways, and I'm going to just be sure that I'm following that kind of leading, to be sure that I speak within just where I'm supposed to speak and not go beyond to begin to say some other things that shouldn't be said at this point in time. That anointing on David is what we now refer to, is what is being referred to as the generational anointing. That anointing, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Should be working in every one of our lives. Every one of us should be working in that anointing. Ah, God, I wish I could say that, but I don't know. I can't say it here now. I don't know. That anointing should be working in every one of our lives, in signs, in wonders, in power, in wisdom, in authority, in rule, in strength, in grace, in might, in demonstration of the wisdom. Are we with me there?
Yes, sir.
That anointing should be makala baraka skutele bekete kesubata bekete kete kete bekete kete bekos. Can we hear me?
Yes, sir.
Sorry, I'm disconnected a little. That anointing should be working in him. We want to. If I could just go in details to just begin to see some things in very clear terms. But again, we must be able to bear it one step at a time, to allow each step and each bit of it sink down. That anointing is the anointing of David. That oil, that anointing that worked on David, is supposed to work in every one of our lives. Wow. That is the generational anointing. Maybe, perhaps, I'm not allowed to say something so that you can have work to do by going out to search out the anointing. Yeah. Because somebody has said, what's the direction I could go? Maybe they are telling you to go and search out the depths of what worked on David. Because they are saying you run with all the mysteries of David. You will run with the mysteries. You are all. Do you know that, Peter, and everyone here, in 2021, last year, between 21st and 22nd, we held a meeting that was titled Thrones, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Do you remember all the things we said? I wish we had the transcript. Do we have the transcript for that meeting? Okay. Maureen, mind is inactive. That's how we know the rule that I've been called of God to enter the for assignments into another field. Alright. So we were saying these things, and that was the thing to say. We said the title of that meeting was Thrones. And we were talking about the thrones of God and then the extension of the covenants of David. Please go and get that transcript, because I don't want to go into details here. You will notice that when we did that meeting in 2021, it was a two-day meeting, we spoke in several mysteries, but there were still words that were clear there that set a path for people to follow and have understanding. And we were saying things, but at the same time, we are not allowed to make the things known. But nevertheless, you know, God will put it in such a way that revelation will be there, but it will not be there at the level where the unserious people will have access to it, so that they can search out the things of God by themselves and go through the process. Because at times, it's in the searching out that the work is being done. It was so serious that months after we held that meeting, then one other prophetic body and ministry, again with global influence and all that, held a meeting with, we can say, the same thing, and even used even the same backdrop with the same, do you remember the same image we had used for the flyer we used was the same thing they used. And I had to now send it to some people and said, what happens when you are beyond, way ahead of your time? You know that it got so serious that they still did a meeting that was the part two of that one sometime later in the year. I got the notification via an email that was sent to my email address. I'm like, there's such a thing going on. And much later on, one of us called me and said, sir, do you remember the things you're talking about? Thrones? Say, people and this man of God are now saying that this is going to link to thrones, and they're saying thrones, these thrones. But we had already spoken a mystery from 2021. It's so amazing now that we are still coming back exactly 1 year later around the same time that we held the last meeting, exactly a year later, to now say that what we said the last time, part of it now, this you didn't get it, like what we said last year, this is part of the continuation and some of the explanation of the things that we didn't say completely. If you are following God, you see that there's coordination.
Yes sir.
It's not like we don't have the kind of memory to orchestrate these kinds of things. How would we know that, okay, let's not say it in 1 year so that we would have said no? It's even more fit of realizing, oh my god, see how the lines are tracing, something's going on here, and you begin to see it. So this, and so you see that thrones we are talking about. How I wish you will sink into the mysteries. I wish I could say more things, and just so that you can have how some persons took it literally. This word started coming at about, not this year, not even last year, and not even 2 years ago. And if you see what we began to do with these words, we literally were diving in to get it. So assess the gates of this gate, these mysteries we are talking about, David. Assess it. Now we are now telling you that the anointing you have to share, you have to be walking in the anointing of David, the anointing that worked on him. Oh Jesus. In power, in wisdom, in might, in strength, in glory, in fearlessness, passion for God and devotion, pursuit and longing. No, you must understand that there were times between those places. And the book of Psalms also is not even written chronologically, first Samuel, because you see that some events are narrated back and forth. So not like after this, then this happened. At times, after like, this, after then this, something happened, then something before, happened before, then this happened forward. It's not written in so much chronological sequence. It's more of a narrative. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes, Yes.
So I'm teaching you now so that you, when you are reading the book, you not be like, maybe they just anointed David, bam, the next day they just, no, it wasn't the next day, it will never be the next year. Now Saul reigned for how many years? Saul reigned for how many years?
40 years,
right?
Yes, sir.
Now, how old was David when he began to reign as king? How old was he? Hello, where are the in-call messages? Oh my God! Everybody is going back to Sunday school after this meeting tonight.
I think he was around 30 years.
30 years. He was 30 years when he began to reign, right?
Yes, sir.
Are we there now? Okay. So, do you realize now that the length of Saul's reign is greater than the age of David when he became king? So, it's not 30 years younger. I'm only giving you insight into the mathematics. Saul's length of years is greater than David's age when he was king. So, when Saul began to reign as king, David was not born. That's where I'm going to. David was not born when Saul started reigning as king, because even his total length of years, he reigned for 40 years. That means he reigned 10 years for 10 years before David was born.
Yes, sir.
If he reigned for 10 years before David was born, if we assume that his first iniquity before God was within his first 10 years of his reigning, then maybe David was anointed when he was 9 years old. As a matter of fact, most Bible scholars and all that agree that David should be about the age of 12 or early teen or 9, between 9 and 12, 13 when he was anointed king. Are you listening? I want to point out something to you so that you understand that it does not explicitly say that David was killing lions before he was anointed. I want to show you things that started happening after he was anointed. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Wait now. So, at that young age of 9 or 12, mind you, Saul reigned for 10 years, then David was born. Then he reigned for another 30 years. Another 30 years before David became king, and that's when he died. But you realize that at the time when they were sending David to battlefield, nobody would send, if David was not of age to some extent, you can't send him with bread to pull a cart to take him to battlefield. Though we understand that little kids then could shepherd the flock, as we also see in our days that little Fulani children can walk around with cows. So he was somewhere with the flocks, right?
Yes.
But I'm showing you, so that you have a level of insight to be able to just view the age at which Saul would have anointed David, and why the father did not deem it fit that a king would be anointed and this one would be relevant to call into the picture. They remained the youngest.
Yes, sir.
Now, so when they brought in that youngest man, they didn't call him, because if there's an immediate work God we want to do and God wants to anoint a king, you know, maybe they brought in the idea of time. If maybe God wants to anoint a king that will take over maybe a few years from now, maybe this king is about to die or God is about to remove him, so let's put this one. But this one, before he's going to become king, it will take another, let's say, 10 years. He's not even ready yet, by this baby boy, I mean, see how young. No, let's know, it's never, don't think about it. No thought comes concerning that one, right? So they say they remained the youngest to call him. Now, when that anointing came upon him, the Spirit, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. From that day, something began to happen in this young man's life. And all the feats that will follow through even the slaying of the lion and the killing of the bear. Are traceable to the grace upon him. Which is why you see, when he saw Goliath, there was something that arose inside him. My point this evening is to let us know that there is a mystery that you should know, that there is the breaking forth of the generational anointing. The generation, there is the breaking forth of the generational anointing, and that generational anointing is the anointing that David carried. If it was in an actual meeting now, I would have asked us to stand to our feet. Just give God praise. Come on. I think that being said should do for, we should settle for tonight. I trust God that maybe I'll be able to say much more than I'm about to say, but maybe I was able to say today, but maybe God is leaving that one to be part of the deal tomorrow. But generally, everything you should have learned today should have brought you into the understanding and the knowing of this mystery, that there is such a thing as the generational anointing, and there is the breaking forth of the generation. That is, the generational anointing now wants to break forth. The generational anointing now wants to become manifest. It wants to give expression now. The generational anointing now wants to start making itself known. It's time to be seen. It's time it is time for his presentation, his announcement, his unveiling. It's time for it. Maybe it has been hidden in somewhere before, but now that anointing is about to break forth and come out into light, so that people can begin to see that there is such a thing as this kind of anointing, this kind of grace, this kind of operation of God that is possible in the earth, because it was today. And let me tell you something. You know, somebody had pointed out earlier that David began to kill bears and began to kill lions in the beast, and that Daniel in his visions was seeing kingdoms as in the form of lion and bear, which is saying that there are people that are going to take a whole kingdom down.
Aye.
So there is going to be the breaking forth of the generational anointing, and I'm telling you that, I'm saying you that, so that you are now the first partakers and the hearers of these kinds of the good tidings, good news and glad tidings, that there is the breaking forth of the generational anointing, and this generational anointing is the anointing that was upon David. Sukatabraka. Just go ahead and pray. Mukosiga la barana. Tembreteke seketeke teke dikata gazebro toko dia. Oh my God.
Baratianzo. Rudebebe.
Pray. Pray. Pray.
Barash. Kebebe. Kebebe. Oh, Rande Keboboros, Gebebebedis, Gaba Babaradis, Camelombros, so soul. Thank you, Jesus. I hope we are praying. I hope we are not here to just
This is the anointing that was upon David. There is a breaking forth of the generation of David. This is the anointing that was upon David. I hope you are praying wherever you are. I hope you are praying wherever you are. I hope you are praying wherever you are. This is the anointing that was on David. Come on, keep praying, Peter. Mate, Suda, Le, Barada, Sike, Toko, Lida, Kan, Me. Levi kuruti adi kiki gonde ane nei di koko di adi di koko grada se ke terita mande ane bore da ni di e no moro ni se kiri kari 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 kero te te ge di kika kako koko se ni ai kata rukri gongo te nei ta o shite te kari kari
In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed.
Amen.
It's mysteries that make men. The Bible
yes.
says,
yes.
mysteries make
men. Yes.
It's mysteries that make men. When you see somebody flying higher than you, there's something he knows that you don't know and he's doing. It's mysteries that make men. You have been, imagine the download that you are receiving, the mystery that makes men in your generation is being given to you. Keys. That's why it's the keys. Oh God, keys are being given. Keys are being given.
Oh yes.
For you to be able to assess the things that will make men in your generation, because what we are doing is apostolically defining the generation, not just speaking within blurry lines. We are outlining it clearly by God's light and wisdom, grace, speaking it clearly and telling you the things that shall be and are being already. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So many have done things to make contact with these mysteries. And until you see that your purpose is bigger than yourself, you would never be able to live above yourself. Until you see that your purpose is bigger than yourself, you will not be able to live above yourself. You'll be limited in yourself. Because earlier in life, we realize many years that this purpose that we are trusting God to fulfill is not that we are born in our time and we are looking for God to give. We are looking for something that God will give to us that we'll be doing. We started looking for the things that God was doing before we were born and how that our life was going to be relevant in it and how we are so. So when we are seeking and trying to make, to reach out to the things beyond us, we are also seeing the men that has gone beyond us. Gone before us and gone ahead of us. So we sort of make contact with the mysteries of generations that have passed, to hold it, knowing that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob still is. And God said to those people, he said, if you say that there is no resurrection of the dead, that the dead are not raised, that when they die is their end forever, why do you now call him the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, knowing that he is not the God of the dead but the God of the living? So we know that these are the witnesses of God and that these ancient men still exist, and that whatever we are doing, we are joined to them in a particular mystery. And if there is transference of spirit, then there are mysteries that God has set in the earth to operate.
Yes.
My God. Many will be brought, and they are being brought to make contact with this anointing even as we speak. In the name of Jesus. Can you just place your hand on yourself and just lift the left hand up wherever you are? I hope we are doing that.
Yes, sir.
Ataka letos. Indama kar pare karga di kudinia de meida kolo de menekidia da kadala barada. Lembro to sudia de kadanadi kundaya. Ale kuda dana tikadi de di ana de kudale sandala mande ate kale. Mashata le poroto sakabakata. Is happening? Many years, this anointing to begin to manifest in your life already.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
This anointing will begin to manifest in your life.
Amen.
Some of you, it's going to start gaining expression in your life. And mind you, when that which is of God comes, it will first scatter what is of men and then begin to arrange what is of God. Remember, the Bible says that he will shake the heavens and the earth so that the things that are of the earth will be removed and the things that are of God will be. When the heavens and the earth are opened and visits you, some structures that you have built that are not of God will be brought down so that that is of God will be raised up. I'm speaking to people that when this anointing begins to break forth in your life, some things will begin to go out of place. All you need to do is not to read the outward signs, but rather follow the lead, follow God inside of you and be aware of God every time, knowing what he is doing and how to participate, even when you do not understand, but how to hold on to the God that is going to be sustaining your heart in times like that. Because when he comes and he begins to scatter out certain things, is so that you'll be fired into the right place you ought to be. I'm speaking to some people that the anointing of God will come and scatter things in your life. Scatter things in your life, things that are not supposed to be there, things that will be limiting you, things that that grew as weed because nobody, you are not paying attention to them, and that they are now choking the things that are of life. You know, when you plant good crop and then the weeds come, they begin to compete with the other things for nutrients and begin to choke them. And since those things can grow without attention, they are very, very sporadic in their growth. But God will be coming to remove them so that the genuine seed of God inside of you will have ventilation and begin to prosper, to bud, and to grow even in that environment.
Testament. I speak to those kinds of people here now, and I pray and I speak over you that the glory of God, the grace of God, and the help of God will invade your life, sweeping away everything that is of man, that is of the flesh, that is of carnality and does not serve the purpose of God and is in enmity with God. God is going to do and is willing to do with your life. Those things are being swept off your life right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Like the flood and torrent of the river of God and of the Spirit of God that flows from the throne, that removes in his path anything that is there, that is not of God. I speak in the name of the Lord Jesus over you that as this flood flows and as this glory invades your life and this grace invades your life and in your spirit as we are speaking, that those things that are not of God will be swept off.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I speak over you light.
Amen.
Light.
Amen.
Light. There are people that will have encounters like light in your face, like a certain kind of brightness.
Amen.
Kind of brightness in your face. I don't know, but if there's anybody, if it's like that for anybody here now, you can notify. But there will be those kinds of encounters of bright lights in the face.
Amen.
Those encounters are indications of the activity of a new kind of impartation that has been received and encountered. Impartations are real. Impartation is not the laying of hands. It can come through channels of laying of hands, through laying of words, and through encounters with the revelation of God. As a matter of fact, the prophets have said and have shown us that the most valid channel of impartation is the word of God. That is why when you see when God spoke to Ezekiel, he said, "Son of man, stand up that I will talk to you." Ezekiel didn't stand up, as the scripture shows. He said that the word entered inside him and stood him up on his feet.
Yes.
He said, and the spirit entered into me as he spoke to me, and then I was made to stand on my feet. So the impartation is a spirit that is alive inside the man that is giving expression to itself. Because when that word landed on me, it was a standing up impartation. There are many that will receive an impartation of breakthrough. When you carry the impartation of breakthrough, you break through. Ezekiel received standing up impartation, he stood up. When you receive an impartation to run, you will run. When you receive an impartation to shine, you will shine.
Amen.
Because yes, impartation is a spirit alive in a man giving expression to himself effortlessly. The Holy Spirit is not holy, he's the Holy Spirit. That's who he is. The spirit of grace is grace itself. It's not like the spirit of grace doesn't have grace. The spirit of grace is grace.
Yes, sir.
Wisdom. The spirit of wisdom doesn't have wisdom. The spirit of wisdom is wisdom. That's why he said in the book of Proverbs, say, I am wisdom, I am understanding, I have strength, I am counsel. He didn't say I am it.
He says, yes,
this one is because of who I am. I'm speaking to you that there shall be manifestations of impartation in your life, and they will effortlessly be effortless because it's the grace of God giving expression through a man.
Amen.
So it shall be.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In the name, watch out. You just sense so many things going on just around your eyes, your face. Because there are certain things that happens when people receive impartation, there's always a tangible expression of the sign.
Yes, sir.
And it happens on the body. We have you know all of that, Peter, and even folks here. Some of them have it. Some of them have these experiences.
Yes, sir.
I speak over your life that this mystery that we have just shared will be fully demonstrated in your life.
Amen.
in the name of Jesus. In the days mm-hmm. of your generation, it will not be a matter of debate or controversy that the mysteries of David were at work in you. In the days of your generation on earth, it will not be a matter of controversy or debate as to whether the mysteries of David worked in you, but it shall be demonstrated and it shall be clear in riches, in honor, in power, in glory, in wisdom, in faith, in might, in strength, in exploit, in love for God, in passion for God, in devotion for God, in dedication for God, in consecration, sanctification, and entire donation to God, as it was with David. Fearless courage, passion, and jealousy for God's glory. It will all be made manifest in your life, because when the impartation comes, the expression it will begin to flow forth from the man. The Bible says, and when he was anointed, the Spirit of God came upon David from that day. Now, from that day forward.
Yes, sir.
My God. Let's not say again. Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead, let's give God praise. Can you just jam your hands together for Jesus? Give him a praise. And if you can, you can give him a shout of praise wherever you are.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mighty God, my God.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You have not seen anything yet. Tomorrow we are here. Some of the things we couldn't say, we trust God to say it tomorrow, or to download the fresh pattern of what should be said and the right things that should be said. What we have said is what we originally had to say, and with what was the crux of what should be said. What we were trying to say is to be able to give sufficient insight so that the entirety of it could be gotten. But God's wisdom is leading in a way. By tomorrow, there shall be an unbelievable download of God's word.
Amen.
And mind you, like we said, you have the keys now.
Yes, sir. God,
please use it to open the door and enter inside.
Hallelujah.
Don't carry the key and sit in front of the door, say, I am the possessor of the key, but I'll stay in the veranda. I'm a veranda man. We stay in the veranda. We have you are a gate man. Not you. That is the arrangement. He who sits by the gate is the gatekeeper.
Yes, sir.
Why be a gatekeeper when you have the key and can enter inside and be a prince?
Hi.
So my exhortation or my is to enter inside.
Yes, sir. To enter, sir.
We have to go. We go on retreats listening to this message, because the audios will be made available, and searching scriptures so that these things become light and revelation to you. And pray tongues, hours, so that your spirit can accommodate it, so that it can be might inside of your spirit. Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah. Can we go?